Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. I'm your host, Calvin Powers. This week on DeveloperWorks, we recap some of IBM's recent announcements in the world of cloud computing. But first, let's take a look at some of the other new articles on DeveloperWorks this week.
If you have experience using web application scanning tools, you know how difficult it is for automated scanning features to find all the URLs in an application to test. The best web application scanning tools provide ways to manually explore the application. Guangdong Li and Hu Ting Wang have just published an article called Introduction to Manual Explorer in IBM Security AppScan Enterprise 8.7. This article shows you how to use that product's new FIPS 140-2 compliant manual exploration tool, and they show you how to use the manual explorer to find all those difficult-to-reach URLs in your application. If your IT shop has strict password strength policies that you need to implement across multiple systems, you know how much of a pain it can be to implement the same password strength rules across all those different systems. Mr. Nagesh Bhagwat, Abhijit Dusain, and Raghavendra T.A. have published an article on DeveloperWorks called Integrate IBM Tivoli Directory Integrator Password Synchronizer with IBM Security Identity Manager. This article shows you how to use IBM Security Identity Manager to enforce the password rules during a password change request before the new password is provisioned across multiple systems with the password synchronizer. This approach can simplify your administrative processes and free up your IT staff for more important work. WebSphere Business Process Server is becoming more and more critical to organizations' core business processes, so downtime is becoming more and more inexcusable. Jake Stoffer and Eric Hernes have just published an article called Approaching Continuous Availability in WebSphere Process Server v7. This article gives you background insights and a pragmatic set of techniques for installing application updates and product fixes in WebSphere Process Server v7 environments where continuous availability is desired. If you want to apply DevOps principles to your WebSphere process server, this is a great place to start.
Don't forget, you can get the links to all of those articles and more at ibm.com/developerworks/this week. My guest this week on DeveloperWorks is Dr. Angel Diaz. He is Vice President of Software Standards and the IBM Cloud Labs. Angel, welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. Tell us a little bit about your role in shaping the evolution of IBM's cloud computing.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thank you all for taking the time to listen. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or wherever you are. You know, I spend my days working with you all, working with clients, end users, our competitors, our partners, on trying to drive innovation in the open. You know, you find that when you work together, you can do more, faster, better. So I spend half my time doing that, and the other time I spend working with clients on high-performance cloud engagement, so taking that innovation that we're doing around open source and standards and actually working on real-world implementations. It's kind of the best of both worlds.
I understand that IBM had a major cloud announcement at the recent Pulse conference. Would you recap that announcement for our viewers?
Yeah, sure. You know, it was pretty exciting. We kind of took a moment in time. You know, when you look at what's been happening over the past 3 years, even four years, it's been a renaissance in open source and standards. I mean, this is kind of very, very important for cloud and also a lot of other markets like social, mobile, big data, et cetera. You know, most of the major technology innovations that had a huge impact on our industry, go back to the web days with HTML, has been fueled by good ideas, good innovation, but supported by strong standards and open source. Cloud is the difference. Our announcement was that, look, there is an open cloud architecture emerging right now. I mean, if you're not seeing it, you probably have, you know, blinders on your eyes. Everything from the infrastructure as a service layer to the platform and software as a service layer and applications that are built on top of that. So we announced that IBM is certainly continuing its dedication to the various parts and the various open source activities. In particular, we talked about OpenStack, which has now become, you know, the world's, believe it or not, the world's largest open source community, bigger than Linux. And we also talked about how all of our cloud offerings, all of our cloud products will be based on open standards, whether it's our private cloud, our public cloud, our integrated systems with Pure Systems, and everything in between. So that was kind of the crux of the announcement, and it's been crazy since then.
It reminds me of that day many years ago when IBM announced that it would build its WebSphere product line on the Apache server. Angel, what's been the industry reaction to IBM's announcement about endorsing OpenStack?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that Apache analogy is a really good one. Because think about it. When you type in a web page, http://ibm.com, you don't care, you know, and you don't worry about whether or not that page is going to come back. Because that whole simple request response is handled by the Apache HTTP code, right? Every web application server today ships with that code. We want the same thing to be for cloud at the infrastructure layer, right? So we want every cloud provider, IBM, anybody else, to ship with that same code so you can have interoperability at the virtual image. Since IBM helped stand up that foundation about a year and a half ago, we've grown from, you know, two dogs, a cat, and 250 people to over 10,000 contributors. We had a design summit. That's where all the open source guys kind of get together. And we had about 4,000 people show up, Portland, Oregon. The next one is in Hong Kong coming up. And so it's been received real well. And I would say at this point, you know, OpenStack is the de facto infrastructure as a service open source. You know, all of the major vendors, module maybe one or two, are active in the community, are shipping or planning a shipping product. And what that means for you as a developer is that you now have the ability to get a skill base that is attractive to so many different clients.
Right.
And what you learn will work with IBM products, other products, and you get that freedom of choice. That will accelerate the adoption of cloud computing. And from IBM perspective, that accelerates our ability to serve our clients more. So this is good stuff all around.
You recently published an article on DeveloperWorks called IBM's Open Cloud Architecture. Can you run through the scope of that article for us?
Yeah, we ground it really on, you know, when you look at cloud, most people, technically speaking, break it up into three pieces: infrastructure, platform, software, right?
Right.
Oh, and then, of course, you can think of, you know, how you develop applications from a DevOps perspective going from top to bottom. So we kind of go through and I walk through these different layers and I talk through some of the most important standards and open source activities at each one of them. Clearly at the infrastructure layer, you've got things like OpenStack. You also have portability at the workflow layer with something like Oasis Tosca. As you move into the platform, you start looking at this composition of applications. In fact, we've got a tech preview out there called Bluemix that folks can go download and start playing with some of that stuff that's happening. And you know what's happening is that as developers, we're able now to kind of mix and match runtimes and do what people call as polyglot or API level programming across runtimes, not just Java, not just Ruby, but all of these things together. So this fabric is kind of emerging to compose these runtimes. There's a lot of open source runtimes that work really well with your traditional vendor runtimes. MongoDB is a great example. We just had a press release last week where IBM the JSON protocol for Mongo and DB2 in extreme scale.
Yes.
All of this is about reducing concept count. As a developer, you know those O'Reilly books that you got to read, that I read, that my office is full of, right? Okay. We're reducing the number of O'Reilly books you need to read in order to be productive in building your apps. And that's what this talks about. It talks about those key open source and standards activities across these different layers. At the software as a service, or at the end user layer, we talk about HTML5. And Apache Cordova, and things like Open Social. We're here on Google Plus, right?
Yeah.
Having this conversation. It's, you know, Google Plus is built on Open Social widgets, right? It's the ability to have interoperability at the UI. So I recommend you go check it out. You can link to it from the DevOps Labs, Cloud Labs, the lab site. There's a nice link to it. But you can also get a tech preview of kind of what we're thinking about as a platform. And you can also download our kind of incarnation of OpenStack by going to the Cloud Orchestrator site, where there's a link to that as well. So
it's often said that the nice thing about standards is there's so many to choose from. Can you tell us a little bit about IBM's approach to figuring out which standards to adopt and how to go forward with them?
Yeah, that's a real good question. No, I think of when I think about interoperability, right, which is really the objective of standards and open source, right? You don't do it for the sake of doing it. You know, I like to say peace, love, and OpenStack or standards, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is to allow freedom for choice, to build skills, to accelerate markets, right? Make it easier for you to do what you need to do. And I think of it in cloud almost as a Maslow hierarchy of needs. So this is like from psychology. If you think about it, you know, humans, you need to be able to eat, sleep, and whatever, and you have a house. Once you have that, you move up to higher orders of things like nice car or something like that, right? Once your bottommost layers are fulfilled. So the cloud has kind of been like that. I think the infrastructure as a service layer is becoming pretty well defined. There's less things to debate over. It's pretty much well understood. People now moving into the platform area and so forth. One of the ways that we as an industry have come together to figure this out, that, you know, where do we actually hone in our focus, is by taking a client view, a client perspective on these things. You know, I say it's not your parents' standards and open source process anymore, right? End users are involved from day one in these open source and standards communities.
Right.
I can tell you, when I was working on HTML myself, when I was writing CSS, I co-chaired, you know, a lot of these different things back in the mid-90s. It was great. It was a bunch of us scientists in a room having fun. You know, do you know what the use case for XML was? It was the mathematical markup language.
Right.
It's a great use case. I love math. But you know, we use it for many different things now. The difference is that we're getting the use cases, I think, much more well understood up front, which
right.
means that the rate and pace and the potential for kind of explosion of technology, explosion of applicability, is much more than those days. And that's exciting. That's an exciting thing.
Thanks, Angel. It's great to see IBM taking a major role in the evolution of cloud computing and the open stack. That's all the time we have for this week on DeveloperWorks. Don't forget to visit us at ibm.com/developerworks/this week. We'll see you next week on DeveloperWorks.